Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to founders and executives and we get their insights as to what it takes to not only scale up their business, but also scale up themselves. And, you know, super excited today to have Yves on the show. He is the founder of 7W Data out in Belgium. And prior to that, he's had stints in the corporate world. He's worked with the likes of GSK and also Philips, amongst others. So super excited to have you on the show today. Welcome, Yves.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me. Well, looking forward to our discussion today.
Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, as always, folks, I give a bit of a synopsis as to what we are going to be chatting about today. So everyone has an idea as to where we're going. And I've been thinking about this a lot in my business, in all honesty. And I think it's definitely a critical subject to understand and master and learn how to optimize. And what is it? It's data. Why is data critical? In my opinion, for most businesses, data is the core of all operations and processes. Therefore, data, we need to make certain data is efficient, secure, timely, and accurate. No matter what scale you're at, you could be a one-man shop or a 1,000 or 2,000 person shop. It needs to be efficient, secure, timely, and accurate. And I believe in the simple mantra, no data, no scale. Simple as that. But not all data is created equal. So we need to make certain we look for the most useful data and the most cost-effective data, depending at what stage of growth you are in your business, right? The fact is, as I mentioned earlier, data is critical to scale. There's no two ways about it. Really, data can be obviously expensive to gather and messy to interpret. So you as leaders need to gather the information on a regular basis and gather it strategically so you can look at it, understand it, and make the decisions that allow you to move to the next level and then then iterate that process again. So super excited to discuss this topic today. And Yves, let's bring you into the conversation. And, you know, at the top of the show, maybe it's poignant to discuss how, as a leader, an executive, how do we go about learning about data and how it impacts our business and how we can use it?
Well, a big question. I think you mentioned already a lot of the things, but as a leader, the simple rule of what you measure is what you know. I think that's a good guiding principle, but understanding as well, what do you want to know? What do you want to achieve? And having those questions helps you in looking for that type of data. That's already a good principle to get started. Well, I have a background in chemistry and I've been doing a lot of quality assurance testing and so on. So early in my days already been experimenting and writing down the results of those experiments and then looking at that, what it can give. So that's already kind of thing where you start to write down and keep track of what you're doing in the real world, but digitize that. And then by having that, you can expel trends, you can see what is happening, but really staying on top of that. I think you brought to the table as well, how do you scale with that data? And that's why you can see, for example, if you're looking at your customers, which ones are bringing in me, well, the most revenue or the most profit better. And then getting that a bit aligned helps you in growing and scaling together with that data part.
No, I like that. And I like what you said in there. You said it helps you keep on track. And, you know, I remember, a number of years ago, I tried and I started up a golf business. And I went out and I thought, oh, this is going to be the best thing in the world, obviously, you know. Oh, yeah, definitely going to be the best thing in the world. I came up with an idea. I was a golfer, came up with an idea, started sort of doing it. You know, I went out to 10, 20, 30 friends, family. I said, no, look at my idea. Do you think it's good? It's a bit of tech. It's interesting. And everyone, 100%, they said, this is going to fly. I said, oh, man, this is it. Finally, my Zuckerberg moment, right? But then I sort of started going a bit further and digging a bit further. And I realized that there was an issue that what I was developing wasn't really fit for the golfing market. So I went out and I asked a number of golfers, just random golfers from golf clubs, and maybe another 30, 20, 30, 40 people. And they came back and, nine out of 10 of them, 80% to 90% were going, yeah, this is great, this is great. I was like, what's going on here? Because everyone said it's great, but nothing's happening, right? So then I went out again and I did a larger survey, sort of market research, and I got people to answer certain questions and gathered specific data. I think there must have been about 1,000 or 2,000 people that I was able to, beg, borrow, and steal information from in a way, in inverted commas, right? And again, the data then started saying something different. It started saying, well, maybe what you're developing isn't specifically for the club golfer. It's for a caddy, right? And the caddy, if anyone plays golf, it's for someone that carries the bags for Tiger Woods, etc., right? So I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I've been trying to develop a product for the amateur club golfer, but actually I should be developing a product for another person that helps these people on the golf course. And yeah, that took me about 12 to 18 months to realize, right? But I guess the point being here is, if I didn't have that data, I would have been swimming around and going, okay, just randomly launching, rather than thinking, okay, well, what do the customers actually want? What are the data points? What is the feedback? And how can I iterate? So, I like what you said there, that it keeps you on track, right?
Yeah, it keeps you on track. And you brought something to the table that started me thinking as well, where if you tell your story, it feels like more product market fit what you're trying to achieve. Yeah. But you can definitely do that with data as well, by measuring what is the response to what is the product you're launching, and finding out how that fits to the product, what you're bringing to the market, and that interest. So that's something what we see happening as well in the market world, that they're now more and more looking really at the data to optimize that A/B testing. And now that we have the technology, that you really can do that at scale. So that's really an intriguing path that we see developing right now in this market.
Because it is. In my example, if I didn't have that data, I wouldn't be able to iterate, and I would have, I would have been a bit sad, and I would have had to probably waste a lot of money and not continue down that path of iteration. So for executives and leaders out there that, are thinking that feedback or data is an afterthought, actually, what I'm thinking is that it should be part and parcel of day one, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sometimes so surprised that people are starting businesses. We have a really nice TV show here in Belgium as well. And there is a guy more in marketing that helps these small business owners that really are in trouble. But then you see that they don't keep track of their numbers. So they only have products in-house, but they don't see if they're profitable, if they really are sold. They just keep on doing the stuff what they think is right, but they don't measure that. And then by simple, just they call it accounting, which in fact is it, keep track of your numbers. And that helps them so much getting those insights of where they need to focus or where they need to go and say, okay, this product is really not selling. Let's move that out of the way. We need to focus onto a different market. And that definitely helps with the data and keeping track of the numbers.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there. And I've seen this and I encounter this a number of times with my clients. I ask them a simple question. The simple question is, show me your end of week report. And 9 times out of 10, they go, fuck, what? I said, show me your end of week report. Again, it's like, you know, rabbit in headlights. And to your point there, they do not have end of week reports. I'm like, okay, well, you know, what are you focusing on if you don't have an end of week report? What are you doing next week to solve this week's problem or to, you know, follow up or maybe on a sales lead, etc.? Richard, I mean, I know what to do. It's in my head. No, it's not good enough, right? It is not good enough to be in your head. It needs to be on a piece of paper or on an Excel spreadsheet, and you need to look at it because once you start looking at that end of week report, whether it's financials in there, whether it's sales figures, whether it's follow-ups, whatever it is, whatever data you're gathering at that specific time, allows you to start breaking free and start working on your business, right? Not in your business.
Exactly. I think you put that right. It's kind of keeping track of those numbers where you can focus. You can get the gut feeling, which does tell you the right sense, but maybe not in priority. Maybe it's not big enough, or you need to shift and say this is more the part where we need to focus and drive that. And having those numbers is really clarifying what is going on in your business, and having that transparency really helps, just confirming that your gut feeling is good or not. And sometimes if you look at the data, you say, it can't be that we have so many customers in the States. What is going on? Did we have a wrong identification of our customers, or is there something really happening in that area? And that the numbers, they trigger questions as well and helps you think about your business. And then you got it, what you said, working on your business instead of in your business.
Yeah, I like it. How do leaders, executives, how do they get data when they maybe first starting out? When I say first starting out, it could be their first evolution of trying to figure out the data in their business, or maybe it's the data in their department. What instruments can they use to gather this data? It could be, you know, Excel spreadsheet to start off with, but what should they be looking at to make certain that at least there's a starter for 10, and then they can build it out into something like, I mean, you mentioned before the call data lakes, which scares me, but yeah, well, what should we be looking up, or what instruments should we be using to help us get to the nitty gritty and keep us on track?
Yeah, you mentioned data lakes, which is already kind of the technology solution for the problem as such. I think you first have to focus upon your process. So what are we gathering? What do we want to do? And the earlier, in which kind of format as well, you can gather those numbers, that's already a good head start. And like you said, just keep track of the numbers as a starter in an Excel file. This is not a sustainable solution, definitely not. But it helps you in looking at the data and doing something and making your mind up of what will be the right solution. Definitely your Excel sheets will explode very fast. You will have a swamp of Excel files all over your folders, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's good starters. And then a data lake could be kind of the solution where you store everything and have easy access to that scale of data in such a way. But you need to understand how you will be start using that data. And typically, I would say more, you have your business process and you will very likely have an application where you keep track of those processes. So that's the first step in a digitization, where you start to digitize your processes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you will have a database that will capture all that data and keep track of that data. And therefore, depending on how you store it, will it be a single database? Will it be a data lake? Will it be event hubs or whatever technical solution you can put behind that? That's something to think about. But first, keep on focusing on the processes and what you want to do and the questions you want to see answered.
Because if we start focusing on business process questions we want answered, then those questions we want answered could be, you know, split across departments. So let's take an example. We could split them across sales, marketing, sales, operation, tech, etc., right? And once those questions are answered, they can be bubbled up to an executive management meeting, right? Where each and every department head, in this instance, can actually talk about their data and talk about their week, maybe their week of hell or their week of, you know, really, really great, great wins. You know, I'm not talking about the sales guys out there. And that then starts creating a bit of magic, right, in the executive office. And that's what we want. We don't want an executive office that talks about, yeah, we did some great stuff last week. We want an executive office that is talking about the data and going, okay, you know, front to back in the business, this is what's going on. As a team, we need to do X, Y, Z. Let's go out and do it. Let's get the troops, you know, up and running and let's start moving forward, right?
Yeah, you brought something really nice up, a discussion that is already going on for the last 20 years, purely in data management, early days of data warehousing, information management systems. Now it's all about AI and data science, yeah. But we still are tackling the same challenges. And that's where you say, we had a great week. It's based upon what? So having that same language that you understand, okay, we gained 100 new customers. Is it new leads? Is it new prospects? Is it really a buying customer? And how do you define that? And that's where we had a nice slogan in the data warehouse times where you were always talking about one version of the truth. Now we're trying to identify that more as one version of the facts. So you have that data which tells you the same type of story, no matter that you're in sales or marketing. But aligning those languages is very important. And that's more about the semantics of your business. And there we come again, understanding your business and understanding your processes. And that helps in tying into the technical part, which is really the data as such.
I like what you said there. It helps understand your business. Data helps you understand your business, no matter how big or how small you are. And going back to, you know, the front end of the show, no data, no scale, right? So as founders and executives, there needs to be a mandate to optimize data at every corner or at every turn, right? Because that gives you, again, it gives you the information that allows you to address problems. It gives you the information that allows you to continue on the route that you're going through.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
We talked about data lakes, we talked about data warehouses, databases, etc. But from a layman's point of view, all we're trying to do here is make certain that we are organizing ourselves so that we can control the ship, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think you mentioned just control that data in every kind of quarter. An important part of that is getting, with a nice term as well, getting your team data savvy or data literate.
Love it.
Understanding what can I get from the data? How do I need to work with that data? And what is possible? And especially as well, what is possible? Can it tell me about my business? And educating people on how they should do that. Sometimes it's even simple enough of being able to create a pivot table and getting those insights. A lot of people don't even know how to get that data into an Excel file and then building the pivot table. Not that I'm saying Excel is the best tool to do that, but it helps you already getting those simple insights. And that's very important as well. Like you said, making sure that people have that mandate and having access to the data, that's an important part as well, because sometimes it's locked into systems or it's an IT-related matter, and that's very important to do that at scale.
And you mentioned a good point there, as I mean, have access to the data. So just because it's in finance doesn't mean the CFO is the only person that can look at the numbers, right? You know, it needs to be across the company.
Exactly. I know that we're so afraid of seeing each other's salary or whatever, or what is the revenue of the company, but there needs to be a certain trust amongst people and just the trust that you won't abuse the data as such. And if you have that, that people really understand what it can help to drive the business and optimize the business, and maybe from a marketing perspective, you have some insights and ideas about how IT can help or improve their business or processes and working. And I think having that context from different angles, that helps as well. And just opening up a lot of that data, yeah, you can put governance in place that you see who did what, where, when. That's another approach where you can say, we open it up and giving more exposure to that type of data internally then.
And earlier you mentioned creating a workforce that is data savvy. In your experience, what are the maybe two or three tools or things that leaders out there need to think about when they are, you know, when they want to create a data savvy workforce? How can they go about that and solve that that problem?
It's a bit getting allowing people a bit to experiment, but guide them in the experiments as well. I had some time on. Took the time. I don't know how I have to say that, but I've learned the Excel files and the Lotus 1-2-3s back in the days all myself because I was so intrigued in the technology and I want to know all feature sets and nuts and bolts of how that is working. But if you can have somebody next to that that has the experience and can explain you how you, in a few simple steps, go from just a CSV file, import it in a simple way in Excel, build that pivot table, and how you can easily filter and get those insights. But yeah, teaching them a bit the data savvy approach, that helps a lot. It makes me think of an interview I had at McKinsey, and the guy throws me an Excel file and he says, "How will you model it?" Strange question. How will I do that? And I start looking at the data and turning it around and filtering. I say, okay, we have so many. And it was about the rationale, how you look at the data and how you try to find the patterns in the data, and that you do it with filtering, you do it with pivot tables or any kind of methodology getting you those insights. And it's kind of start from the big picture, what do we have, and then find out what are the outliers and do the deep dive. But people are not used to work in that way. It's more if you have an analytical mind, that's the way how you work, and you do it step by step, and you know that you have to be able to repeat the steps. And those are simple guidelines that can make people more comfortable in working with the data. You said, which tools? Sorry to say, Excel is still a good thing to do that. And on the other hand, if you want to get started, just make sure that you learn to write some basic SQL statements, the standard query language. And I think having those capabilities gets you a long way in becoming data savvy and getting those insights. And the SQL helps you in just talking to larger scale data sets and getting those insights. That's very helpful.
And I mean, you know, for everyone out there, you know, UBS also publishes a lot of great content in and around the data space. So, you know, I'd urge you to link up with him and follow him every day. I think every day, if not every day, every few days, there's some great articles coming out. Read about it. Touch base with him, because that's another way to get data savvy. Talk to the data experts out there, right?
Exactly. That's how I learned it. That's me. I mean, the first time doing some data integration before the days that I really knew it, we were talking about ETL, extract, transform, and load. And then you start talking about data warehouse and you just think, what is this guy's doing? But then I've learned that dimensional modeling is kind of the gut feeling of how I organize my data. I've been doing that before I understood that this was the methodology and principle, but it felt for me kind of a natural way of organizing my data to be able to have the way of filtering and grouping and aggregating those numbers and getting to the insights. So that's sometimes afterthought that you say, hey, we've been doing that for already a long time, and that helps in. Hey, there's a smart guy called Kimball that found out a methodology that helps in building those insights. So that's always fun, like you say, talking to the experts and learning from them as well, and then aligning what you think and that you're on the right track as well.
And I also think if you do this company-wide, if you do this company-wide, you start creating a culture of data savviness, but also as a company, as a team of 10, 20, 30, whatever it is, 100, 200, you start connecting the dots, right? You connect the dots on where to go, how to go, what to do, when to do it. And you all should be connecting the dots, not just the CEO or the COO or the CTO or the CDO, Chief Data Officer. It's everyone's job to connect the dots. And then the question around scale becomes, actually, it's achievable, right?
Yeah, I think you bring a good point where you say connecting the dots, and it's all about breaking down those silos. And I think if you have those dots connected, you can say, if we scale marketing, how do we need to scale sales, and how do we need to scale engineering and product development? And that helps in saying, okay, we increase it by 10% over here. What's the impact over there? So really having that transparency again and seeing how data impacts your business.
Yeah, love it. And as you wrap up this section and get closer to the heart of the conversation, i.e. the flash round, what are the final tips you want to give executives, founders, managers, leaders out there if they are looking to optimize their data journey?
Optimizing your data journey, make sure you have communication in place, people talking to each other, you have the data governance in place, so responsible people for certain domains of your data, and that you really have that data semantics in place. Don't start with technology. I see so many, still a lot of consultancy companies that are focused upon selling products. Yeah, and then you have Tableau in-house and there it stops. I mean, there is so much more into becoming data savvy. It's very important to understand the business.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. And, you know, now we go into the fun part of the show. Everyone out there knows about it. Yves, this is your first time. Lucky man to be involved in this. There we go. A bit of a drum roll. The flash round is here. The rules are I ask three questions and I give the mic to Yves and he asks me one. So here we go. Simple one-word answers, hopefully. Nothing out of the ordinary. So here we go. So what is more important, data optimization or product optimization?
Product optimization.
Oh, love it, love it. Well, okay, this is unfair, but it's just because we spoke about this earlier, but here we go, I'm going to ask you, what is more important, execution or planning, for planning's sake?
Execution, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Stop talking, start doing, right? I love it.
Exactly.
Because this came up in the conversation, and actually I remember doing it back in the days as well, Lotus, Excel, or SQL?
Well, depends if you're talking about Lotus for the car, but in this respect, if we're talking about spreadsheets, yeah, Excel, and sometimes even Google Sheets, because that has a possibility.
Well, there we go. Okay, brilliant. And now I hand the mic over to you, my friend, and you can ask me one question, whatever that may be.
One question. Drum rolls.
So yeah, exactly. You're waiting for this all week.
So, Richard, you're more into the financial space. How will data help the final customers in getting more service from the big banks?
Great question. So, and this is a question that a lot of larger financial institutions grapple with, that even startups grapple with. So the thing is that being close, especially in the fintech world, being closer to your customer is what we actually want. And when I say being close to your customer, actually going out there onto the streets of the townships in Africa, in Soweto and Alexandra, right? So fintech actually allows for that. And you're able to easily walk out in the street as a founder, executive, part of a team, and figure out what this community wants. I was just in a conversation yesterday with a great company from the Netherlands, Talk360, that are doing exactly this. They are out there on the streets talking to their customers, because they want their customers to have the right information, the right data, and the right products that allows them to then connect with people in their universe, right? This is what finance should be, right? This is fintech, but if you look at the big players, JP Morgan's, Deutsche Bank's, etc. of the world, in all honesty, they need to do better, right? They need to understand their data much, much better. But there's a big issue. The issue is that their systems And also, the executives that manage and lead those systems are out of date, right? They are out of date. That's the elephant in the room. You can't just hire in a McKinsey and Accenture, et cetera, to change the tire. You have to look at the system. But look at what Ferrari have done in the last little while. They have changed their whole system, and now they're starting to win matches. Win races, right? Liverpool in sports did the same. They changed their whole system, owners, managers, teams, and now they're starting to win, you know? And now it's the same for in the banking system. They need to change, right? They need to change not just a tire or a spoke. They need to change the system. The big players are actually getting a bit of a wake-up call from the smaller players, and I'm liking that. But that's my thoughts of how, you know, data can really impact the end customer, both from a fintech point of view and also from a larger corporate banking point of view.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's really spot on. So, I mean, we talked about it. You make me happy before we go into the weekend again. but with those thoughts, like you said, need to change the systems as such. And I think that's the challenge with the big corporate banks right now have, where they see the startups in the fintech space are not really competing, but playing a different game as they are playing.
Yeah, do you know why they're playing a different game though? Because they give a damn about the end customer, right?
Yeah.
They actually, you know, they have something called heart, and they have something called purpose, and they have something called a mission, and they give a damn about the people they serve. And so I'm not saying that the big players don't, but they might want to reflect as to what exactly they are giving their end customer, right? And listen, there's still some great innovation happening there anyway. So listen, Yves, it's been great having you on the show today. I always ask my guests, how can others, if they're listening today, how can they get in touch with you?
Pretty easy. You can go to my website, 7wdata.be, or just contact me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and you'll get an answer in a shortest delay.
Brilliant. And I'm Richard Doherty. Thanks for listening. See you next week. And remember, no data, no scale.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.